We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number three of Danny and Dusty with you. Hope everybody's having a great day.
Pause there, maybe. Like hour number three of... Then I was like, did you forget where you were?
Nope.
Okay.
Right here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, or 99.5 HD2 in your HD radios there. It is time now that we go down the road of getting picky. Let's get it, buddy. Picks against the spread. All right. We have our lines now, which, by the way, go to at Danny and Dusty on social media where you can vote on the games for this week. Three games to pick from. You have the Chargers, which was opened at 3.5-point favorites. They are now 1-point underdogs in Vegas and against the Raiders. You have the Patriots, plus 3.5, hosting the Buffalo Bills. You have the Vikings, 3-point favorites, as they host the New York Jets with Mike White, newly minted quarterback. All right, after last week's action, I went 0-3. When the heater ended, boy, did it end.
You crashed down to earth like a complete dumpster fire.
I did. I knew it was coming. Mm. We all knew it was coming. It was a matter of when, not if. Yeah.
I had an okay week.
Okay week. 2-0-1.
We'll take it.
2-0-1. And then Rust had a tough one. He went 0-2-1. And the listeners went 0-2-1.
Those pushes are piling up on the listeners, man.
Pushes are piling up. Well, last week's push wasn't even really their fault. They pushed on a 1.5-point line because the votes tallied out at 50-50.
50-50, yep. Why do you need to vote?
Got to vote. Your vote matters.
Every vote matters.
So go to at Danny and Dusty on Twitter where you can vote on the three games that we put out there. Overall rankings are as follows. Yefri Rust, bringing up the rear. 16-18-2. In third place is listeners at 16-16-4. Hey, 500's good.
Hey, listen, you're just trying to go 51%.
Danny Meringue is second, 18-15-3. And my 0-3 weekend.
4-game lead on me.
Yeah, 22-11-3.
I'm beginning to think with my Jacksonville picks, I need to go with the Costanza route and go with the opposite of what I first thought.
Fade yourself.
Oh. I am 3-8 picking Jacksonville games.
That is a bettor's nightmare. The old I have to go for the personal fade. That's when you're overthinking it here. All right.
If it weren't for the Jacksonville games, I'd be doing just fine.
Fade me, Daddy.
You know what to do with that. You know exactly what to do with that. That's a drop. All right, Danny, why don't you start?
You got to give me some time to grab that drop.
Why don't you start there, Daddy Meringue?
Hey, listen, Daddy's going to take the Jets because screw the Vikings. I am buying the great white hype.
Road dog?
Love to see it.
He missed that.
Love to see it. I'm believing in the Jets. I'm believing in Mike White. I'm believing in the... You know what? It's not even me really totally believing in the Jets. It's me not believing in the near even point differential that is the Minnesota Vikings.
That could be fair. All right? All is well here. All right. Yef Rust, why don't you hit us with your first pick? So then you can go back to editing things.
Yeah, right? I actually didn't notice until a couple minutes ago. I have chosen all road teams this week. Starting out with tonight's game, Buffalo -3.5 at the Patriots. I feel like maybe I'm missing something here. But
that number, listen, I think, not to give away the lead here, I think we all ended up picking that game.
So, yeah, Buffalo.
I definitely have it.
Buffalo -3.5.
Yeah, there's something there. Listen, Josh Allen's arm may be falling off. They're still better than the Patriots.
He didn't miss any practice all week. There's no Von Miller. He's on injured reserve, so he's gone for at least four. But yeah,
he is gone for at least four. But he wasn't playing a heavy load or a normal load that you would expect.
He was literally they were saving him for the playoffs.
But I think what you guys are forgetting is Bill Belichick.
Oh, right.
And the AFC East, which he's been really damn good, no matter who his quarterback is. Mm. With that being said, I took the Bills -3.5.
By the way, all right. Well, we'll swing back to me. And spoiler alert, I took the Bills -3.5, too.
All right. Well,
just because the. Listen.
I guess that's that.
We had Horvath on yesterday. Like, if you're not taking the Chiefs to the Bills, basically with a touchdown, like, it's.
What are we even doing here?
Yeah, kind of like they'll get it done.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Rust, pick number three. Or pick number two.
This is number two.
Yeah. Who does number two work for?
Yeah, so another road team. This one, not a dog, though. Road favorite. Kansas City, only -2 at Cincinnati. That one felt like another one I was meeting.
That's another one that I kind of raised an eyebrow towards.
I mean, but Cincinnati's playing better, but
that defense is playing pretty good. And again, Horvath talked about that yesterday.
Bengals be red hot, though. Mm-hmm. Bengals are hot.
Still taking the Chiefs. -2 on the road.
Revenge game. All right. Revenge game. All right.
We got.
I am going to go Chargers 1-point dogs on the road at Vegas. This line has flipped. The Chargers were favored. I think the fear of receivers being out is real there for
the LA Chargers. We just got an update on Mike Chargers not going again today in practice.
He never practices anyways.
That's nice.
I'm going with the Chargers for this reason right here. Danny, your team is a little bit broken.
My team sucks. Is that what you're about to say?
They are.
They can run that ball, baby.
They've won two games in a row.
Pound that rock.
They ran all over the Seahawks. Come back down to earth time.
What if they do it again this year? What if they do it again this year? Go from out of the playoffs to another wild card.
Well, then everybody owes Josh McDaniels, including yourself, an apology because
I'm still mad at him for not playing Josh Jacobs to start the season.
It's not Rich Bisaccia's
magic
little
wand.
Magic. It was just this team sucks half the year, and then decide, oh crap, we got to play. All right, here we go.
I mean, better that than not.
better late than never.
Listen, I'm going to fade Jeff Russ's fade. And I am going to take a road dog. And I'm going to take the Jags +1 at the Lions. I am buying Trevor Lawrence in the revival.
Ballsy.
I like
ballsy
it.
Ballsy pick.
I like it.
One, ballsy pick number one, betting the Jags-Lions game.
Woo!
Ballsy
doggy.
Number two, taking the visiting team in the Jags-Lions game.
Whee!
I mean, the wheelbarrow you had to bring that one in on.
I like them Jags.
Rust.
Well, I did say I've taken three road teams this week. This one is a road dog. And it would be those Jacksonville Jaguars +1 at Detroit.
I thought I was fading you.
Yeah, so there we go.
You monster.
After losing five straight, Jacksonville's won 2 out of 3, the only loss being against the Chiefs. And they beat the Ravens in there. And one of Danny's favorite stats, like he likes to talk in terms of plus minus, the Jags, even though they're 4-7, +12 on the season.
Yes!
Those Detroit Lions, 4-7 on the season, they are -35.
That's a massive point differential between those two.
I'm taking Jacksonville, +1 on the road.
All right. My third and final game, I am going with the Commanders. -2.5 at the Giants. I really do like Ron Rivera. I like the fact with Brian Robinson, what this rushing attack looks like for the Washington Commanders. And I think stylistically, this is going to be kind of an old school knockout, drag out fight. Giants shine coming off of them. They have lost three out of their last four games, lost two in a row. Their only win in that span is over the Houston Texans. They've lost to the Lions, got ran out of the building against the Lions, lose to the Cowboys. Give me the Commanders to win this game. I'm going with the Commanders here. I think they found their rhythm.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Those be our picks. Again, make sure you go to at Danny and Dusty on Twitter, where you can vote the Week 13 picks. They are Chargers at Raiders, Vegas, 1-point favorites at home. You can even actually get that game anywhere from Chargers, depending on where you're getting your action in on. You can get the Chargers favored by a point. Or at BetMGM, you can get the Raiders 1-point favorites. We also have tonight's game, Bills minus 3.5 on the road in New England. And then the Vikings hosting the Jets as 3-point favorites. Go vote at Danny and Dusty on Twitter. Please, just go and get those votes in. All right, coming up next, George Kliavkov planting his flag in the ground. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Fade me, Daddy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Open Gangnam Style. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Gangnam Style.
Coaches not talking about injuries in the Pac-12 may be a thing of the past. George Kliavkov saying today that with gambling becoming more and more prevalent across the country and legalized in almost every state now in the Pac-12 footprint, that the conference will adopt a consistent approach for membership schools and hope that it's replicated by all FBS conferences as it pertains to injury reports. So Dan Lanning, Lincoln Riley, you're probably going to have to start giving some injury updates.
Kyle Whittingham?
Kyle Whittingham doesn't like to do it. None of these coaches like to do it. But once a guy's done for the year, at least Whittingham and Jonathan Smith, they'll let you know, like, yeah, he's not coming back. We still don't know what happened to Travis Dye.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, we knew that Luke Musgrave was done for the season when he got hurt.
It was implied with Travis Dye. It was implied.
But we still don't know the injury.
No.
On the broadcast of the Notre Dame and USC game, they called it a knee injury. He's in a walking boot.
It's not a knee injury. It's a devastating lower body injury is how they've classified it.
Yeah. I think that this will also lead to a two deep. Coming out from Oregon eventually, which will be nice to see.
Hilariously.
Didn't see one all season long.
Nope.
But the world of gambling is real, and that's the only reason why. The NFL has got a lot of rules that surround gambling before gambling was even legal.
Yes, because they were trying to build the framework for it.
Well, yeah, and they know how important gambling is to the lifeblood of the league and the popularity of the league. I mean, if fantasy football... You need to know your injuries for fantasy football. This was long before fantasy football, though. Vegas and some shady individuals, they had their thumb on, look, we need to have these injury reports, and so they've been mandatory in the league forever.
Yes, and other leagues have done a piss-poor job, particularly the NBA, and how they handle this stuff, and they're starting to crack down on it because of situations like we had with Utah and Washington State. When they pulled Cam Rising out from underneath everybody's...
Right before the game.
Yeah, and nobody knew.
Yeah.
Do you think Las Vegas was pissed? Yup.
Hell yeah, they were.
I guarantee you George Kliavkov and the Pac-12 office got numerous letters
Yeah.
From the various casinos and bookmakers.
Well, especially Kleof Cuff.
Yeah. Who's trying to currently negotiate deals selling Pac-12 data to those books.
Yeah.
You don't think that listen, we're in Oregon. We're in a state for whatever stupid reason we can't bet on college sports. Yeah. Everything else, fine, but not college. Not the integrity of college football. Shut up.
I'm okay if you can't bet on Duck and Beaver games. Like up in Washington, if you go to ALNA, you can't bet on Coogan Husky games.
Mm-hmm.
But let me bet on every other college game.
It's still dumb. It's still dumb. Like this whole idea, like because it's not legal to do it at those on those institutions, that like that's going to somehow protect the sanctity or the safety of the game. No. Listen, if they find a weak link and they expose it, it doesn't matter if it's legal or not. They'll pull that nerve.
Well, the bookies were the illegal gambling on games is far more likely to get inside information and to, manipulate those lines of
as
markets.
Opposed to the forward facing legal books.
Yeah,
which is again, put it all out in the open.
Yeah, but this is the future, and putting out your injury report is not in one way or the other. It will not benefit a school tremendously outside of like the rare case, and this is such a rare case that you had with Cam Rising in Utah against UW. That is so rare, and we cannot say that that is good for the game. It's not good for the game. It's not good to hide that your quarterback was hurt the entire time. Injury reports, get everything on the up and up, put it all out there, and other conferences will eventually follow suit as gambling becomes legal state by state across this country.
This whole stupidity of the Belichickian protect everything at all costs nonsense is so dumb.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. You think the game plan's going to change? No. Mm. No, it's not going to change. They're going to... In the second, like, Bo Nix. I don't know if Nix is going to go. So you're going to get ready for the worst quarterback? No. You're going to prepare for Bo Nix to be Bo Nix, and then you're going to go out there, and when it's the not Bo Nix guy, you know what you're going to do? You're going to adjust. The same thing that would happen if Bo Nix went down in the first quarter.
Yeah. 100%.
Nothing changes.
Yeah. So that is coming down the pipeline. It's something that we should all get used to. I'm glad the Pac-12 is on the cutting edge of it and leading forward. Other news from the world of college football, we get our 12-team playoff. The Rose Bowl finally blinked last night. It will expand to 12 teams starting in the 2024-2025 season. So we've got it. The 12-team playoff is here. The Rose Bowl got out of the way. And they did get what they wanted in expanding the final two seasons of the contract. The first two years of the 12-team playoff, quarterfinals will be in the Rose Bowl.
Ah.
So they will be able to kind of work out any of the kinks. And now you have, moving forward, we are going to have 12 teams. Last year will be the final year of our current playoff format. Here's how it'll all play out. The first round of the playoff in 2024 will take place in the week ending Saturday, December 21st. This is great. Meaningful, good football games starting earlier. So we don't have that 1 month off of a massive gap in between seeing the best teams in the country play. It'll be on location on the 21st. 12 will host 5, 11 will Five will host 12, 6 will host 11, 7 will host 10, and the number 8 seed will host the number 9 seed on their campuses. Or, and now here's a big one, here's the or here, or at a neutral site stadium of the lower seed's choice. So, say, you know, Oregon is hosting and they've got, you know, I don't know, Wisconsin, for example, or Michigan coming over, okay? In December 21st, you know, you're sitting there and going, well, maybe we don't want to play outdoors in Autzen Stadium in late December. They could, in theory, move that game to a neutral site location, Vegas, something that behooves them that they can choose. And you can have an indoor game where it could be climate controlled.
I don't know why you wouldn't want to play there in December. It never rains.
It does never rain, yeah, but does that pertain to snow?
Because of all the snow we always get in Oregon.
Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. The four quarterfinal games and two semifinal games will be played in Bulls on a rotating basis. 2024 quarterfinals will be the Fiesta, Peach, Rose, and Sugar Bowls. Cotton Bowl and Orange Bowl will be the semifinals. 2025, it will be the Cotton, Orange, Rose, and Sugar, with the Fiesta and Peach Bowls being the playoff semifinals. Specific dates will all be announced at a later date. That's huge. That is huge for college football. I mean, that is a big-time move to get this thing done, mm-hmm. and it seems like the timeline still fits with what the Rose Bowl wants. So those games that they're going to have, if the 21st you have a game there, that weekend, then you have a couple of weeks to ramp up. And I think that is huge for fans as well. For if your team wins, booking your flight to, you know, whatever bowl game that you're going to be heading off to. I think this is great for college football. I love the timeline of it all, starting December 21st. And not pushing it too far beyond where the college football season is supposed to end now. This is good for the game of college football.
When this is all said and done, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of complaints.
Yeah.
I don't. I with what we have right now with four teams and everybody else getting left out and the process for it and juggling and making your reasoning, your rationales behind stuff known kind of a deal,
mm-hmm.
all that goes away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once you get past 12 teams, man, 11 teams plus the one non-Power 5, You really don't have any arguments.
Well, you're sitting there and you're going, we're splitting hairs over three lost teams now. Like, it's really easy to be like, don't lose three games.
Yes, exactly. At that point in time, listen, one loss, okay. Two loss even?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once you get to three, like, nah, dog, you shouldn't have lost three. It gets pretty easy.
That's right.
So, I think they're finally, it pains me to say it, but they got it right. Also, the NCAA is not involved. So.
Oh, somebody's always going to be upset. We're going to have people crying for 16. Like, this year would be with the current rankings the way they are. And here's the other thing, too. The College Football Playoff Committee won't have to manipulate rankings the way they do.
No.
So, three-loss Kansas State would not be ranked 10th.
No.
Utah at 9-3 would not be ranked 11th. Mm-hmm. UW would be bumped up there, and it would be, they'd be in. So
they'd be
we don't
eight
have
or
to,
nine.
We don't have to complain about that.
No.
It's okay. We could all, like, relax and breathe a little bit, okay? We can just take a deep breath, exhale. It'll all work out. I'm excited for it. But as we all know, somebody will always complain and somebody's going to bitch about it. So 12-team playoff coming right down your pie hole. I love it.
Listen, around that time of year when there's plenty of pie to be had.
Give me more chaos. That's what I want. That's what I want. And
yes,
we're going to get it.
That's entirely what I want.
Ah. Okay. As this text says, if you don't think there'll be arguments, then you're fooling yourself. People argue about the snubs of the NCAA tournament, and that's 68 teams.
Sure, people argue about it, but those people are also idiots.
Yeah, everybody tells Jim Boeheim to shut up every time Syracuse doesn't make it.
Do people argue about it, or do people on TV argue
and
about
that's,
it?
And exactly. That's the thing. It's like, once you've reached a certain level, your arguments fall on deaf ears.
Yeah.
Like, you can be in your corner arguing about it, but nobody cares.
Yeah, the teams that, I mean, college football is so different is that it's like Stanford, that Andrew Luck year. Dude, that team, when they won the Orange Bowl, that team should have been playing for a national title.
Yeah.
But they stubbed their toe too early, and they couldn't make up for it. That team was one of the best teams in all of college football.
And this will allow for that, again, for those the teams that do fall on their face, you have a little bit of a redemption arc.
Yeah.
In order to make that up.
And then you have teams like Tennessee that would, Hendon Hooker gets hurt, they lose to South Carolina, and they are going to, like, if there's a 12-team playoff, they would get their brakes beat off of them. It would be ugly.
It would.
But.
Which, that's how it goes.
I saw somebody making an argument that Tennessee scored, like, what did they score, 56 on Vandy?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, that was with the backup. It was also against Vanderbilt. Come on.
Yeah, that's how that goes.
All right, 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. Did Patrick Mahomes draft himself? Serious question. Here's Rust.
This
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Nick Daschle, the Oregonian, reporting a little bit of a... Chance Nolan, Beef starting quarterback from most of this year, or I guess five games, has entered the transfer portal.
Oh.
That's an interesting one.
It certainly is, because, listen, Gulbranson didn't exactly well.
No, he threw for 60 yards, completed six passes in the Civil War win. So
it's going to be interesting to see what old Jonathan Smith is able to do in that transfer portal.
Hell, they were looking for a quarterback last year.
Yeah.
Of course he's in there going, they're going to try to upgrade again.
But, I mean, can they pull it off this year?
Yeah, we'll see. They should. Should be able to.
Tell you what, if you're a quarterback out there looking to get on a better team, be a good place to land.
Dakoldis Crawford has entered the transfer portal as well.
No!
He's just looking for more AC money. He can get it in wherever he lands. He'll get that AC NIL deal. Okay. I heard this out of the Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce podcast that they do. What is it called? New Heights?
Mm-hmm. A lot of Pit Viper sunglasses going on in there.
Oh, just two bros just broing out and could not be more opposite.
No.
Travis and Jason Kelce. I mean, one's an offensive lineman, one's a receiver masquerading as a tight end.
Yes.
Who masquerades as an offensive lineman. Kelsey's a dude, man. Travis Kelce, so good. But I heard Jason once. He was asked to sum up the difference between him and his brother, and he said, I played hockey, he played basketball.
That tracks.
Sums it up pretty well, you know? But they had Patrick Mahomes on. And this is fascinating to me because Mahomes broke down his pre-draft process, and the person that helped him get drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Take a listen.
The first day that I met Coach Reed was at the facility. We had like the meetings, like the top 30 visits. So I was in there for like 5 hours.
Just
he's just going drilled. Through plays, going through plays. And I'm going to give you all the inside scoop. Matt Nagy, who was the offensive coordinator then, he really liked me. So he gave me the plays they were going to go over the night before. So Coach Reed's finding out here live on New Heights podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Matt Nagy. How could you?
Let's go.
And yeah, so of course I crushed the meeting. I stayed up all night studying those plays.
It's like, man, this kid is locked in. We got ourselves a winner here.
As the process went on, I got a feeling that I was kind of going up in the draft. I had a couple of teams that said they were going to draft me, and I mean, that's true. Like, it's not like these coaches are making that up. I talked to them during the draft process, and they were like, hey, if you're there, we're gonna take you. I kind of gave a little inside info to the Chiefs, and I was like, hey, if y'all let me go anywhere below – at the time, I didn't know about the Saints, but I was like, if y'all let me go 12 or below, I'm going to get drafted by someone else.
You drafted yourself?
And so I gave the Chiefs a little bit of info on that because I wanted to be here.
Let's go!
How great is that? Dude, Travis Kelce is having this, like, he's looking around because this is the first time he's heard it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's video of it, and he's looking around like,
wait, what?
He actually drafted himself.
Listen, man, as much as teams put out smoke and mirrors, you don't think agents and players do this stuff for where they want to go? Because guess what? Even though these players are new to the league, these agents aren't.
Yep.
They don't want to send their guys to hell.
Yeah.
Like, you look at it, you know, you don't want to send your quarterback to the Jets.
No.
You know, they're going, no.
And that's why it's like usually not a bad thing if you're falling in a draft. Like, because you're going
to a better situation, yeah. Or you're going to a team that gave up all their draft picks.
The one place that would have been fascinating for me to see is it was like Kansas City and New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
It was down to those two. Sean Payton, the sliding doors of that, like,
oh,
Sean Payton doesn't retire. You know, we probably don't have the Miami Dolphins getting in trouble with the NFL because Sean Payton isn't flirting to go to Miami and down there. Sean Payton and Patrick Mahomes would have been a hell of a combo together, too. Like, there is no wrong answer between Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes or
Sean Payton
and Patrick Mahomes. Because remember, at that time, that's when they had Joe Brady on their staff as an analyst who introduced the RPO to Sean Payton. Like, how that would have worked out would have been incredible as well. To see what they would have done offensively.
I love these stories.
Yeah.
I love this stuff. And this is the stuff that I wish we got more of. Usually you don't get this until
guys retire. Yeah. That he put this out there is kind of funny. Also, Andy Reid's probably sitting there looking at Nagy like, appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you. Then he goes and gets hired by the Bears, and everybody hates him at the Bears because he couldn't draft a quarterback there.
Well, he had his one in a million when he found his guy. He just for the wrong team.
Yep, just for the wrong dang team.
Yeah,
and they get me every time because even like their teammates are blown away by that.
Like, you were doing what already? Like before you got here, you were manipulating? Come on now.
And the evaluation, as you mentioned, of Matt Nagy to see it in Mahomes and be like, no, this is the guy that...
Because there was plenty of questions about Mahomes because it's Texas Tech guy, system guy, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, for all of the revisionist history on Patrick Mahomes you can have, fine. Nobody trusted a Texas Tech quarterback.
No. But Cliff Kingsbury turns out, can recruit quarterbacks.
Turns out he's pretty good at it. Yeah.
Yeah. He should go back to college, maybe.
Mm.
Maybe he should be an offensive coordinator somewhere.
Maybe, you know.
He's on some lists like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, not that there's Oregon. An opening around here or anything.
Yeah.
I said, speaking of, it sounds like the Ducks have.
Why
are
in the hell would you say USC? He wouldn't go back to USC now. He already had that job for a day.
But speaking of those coordinator spots, it sounds like Oregon's down to their final two or three here.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see what direction they go.
It sounds like Lanning either met or was supposed to meet with Dante Moore.
The out of Michigan.
Yeah, to have kind of like, hey, here's your new coordinator is if you stay.
Yeah.
Or here's the list. Which one do you want?
Boy, I wouldn't put it on a high school kid to pick.
I mean, how much do you want to recruit?
I'd go to the portal. If it came down to that, the guy that is working under me or having a 17-year-old pick him.
Well,
how'd that work out for the New York Jets when they brought in Zach Wilson's personal quarterback coach?
Listen, I'll tell you this, though. How well has it worked out for the Ducks over the last 9 years?
What?
You've lost your coordinator almost every single year. Maybe it's time to switch up how you do it.
I mean, three of them have gone on to be head coaches.
Well, I know, but I'm just
pretty
I'm
good.
I'm just saying, maybe you can get one that sticks around for at least a year or at least 2 years.
I think it's a good problem to have when your offensive coordinator keeps getting hired. It makes it very hard to hire a good offensive coordinator.
It does.
And this is the first time with Lanning that we'll see kind of how that goes and the direction that it goes. All right. Let's wrap this bad boy up. We got a great Thursday. We got Thursday Night Football tonight.
Sure.
Then we'll hand you off to primetime with Isaac and Sue. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan. The heat is
on. Ooh, the heat is on. Let's go. Any inside reasoning to this, Jeff Rust?
Yes. Today is the 38th anniversary of the premiere of Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop. Wow.
Is it just me, or does this song feel like it was in at least 13 movies between 1984 and 1990?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, that's probably a pretty fair estimate.
Yeah.
But yeah, this movie, one of my favorite single scenes of all time occurs in this movie.
Are you talking about Balki Bontakamas and, Serge?
Serge, yeah. Yeah, with Bronson Pinchot.
With Axel Foley?
Yes.
It is 100% one of the best scenes that we have. And on the 38th anniversary of Beverly Hills Cop, give it to him. Maybe.
I'm fine. My name is Serge, and how can I help you?
Yeah, I'm looking for Miss Jenny Summers.
She's very busy today. Maybe you give me your name?
My name's Axel Foley.
And what is pertaining?
I didn't understand what you said.
Pertaining, what it's meaning, regarding.
Oh, what's it regarding? I'm an old acquaintance of hers.
Danae? One moment. Only run and tell Miss Summers that Mr. Ahmed Foley is here to see.
Axel Foley. Axel.
Axel. Foley is here to see her. These are all the queens. Don't. This is covered this up. It's like the breast of a dog to scrub for the customer.
It's not sexy. It's animal.
No, it's not sexy at all.
Now, I'll feel something to drink, wine, a cocktail, espresso.
No, I'm fine, thank you.
I'll make it myself right back there with a little lemon twist. It's good. You should try it.
No, I'm fine.
I see you look at this piece.
Yeah, I was wondering how much something like this went for.
$130,000.
Get the f*** out of here!
No, I cannot. It's serious, because it's very important piece.
Have you ever sold one of these?
Sell it yesterday to a collector.
Get the f*** out of here!
I'm serious, I said it myself.
I love that.
Sedge.
Sedge.
Fantastic.
It is. That is great. And you were telling me before the show that entire scene was
improvised. That's what makes it so much better. Improvised.
Almost all those moments that we remember from those movies are improvised. Bill Murray in Caddyshack. Just a regular guy coming out of nowhere.
Cinderella story. Yeah.
All improv.
Yeah.
Every last bit of it.
Now, who was it that was supposed to play Axel Foley? I think, wasn't the role written for, I want to say it was either Stallone or Schwarzenegger.
Really?
It was like an action.
So it wasn't the comedy action?
No. And then like they moved on to
Eddie Murphy.
Sylvester Stallone.
Stallone?
Wow. What came out first?
Could you imagine Stallone being like, Axel Foley, my name. You know, just
get the F out of here.
You sold this? What? How much you sell that for? Oh, look at that.
Well, did
get the F out of here.
Was Cobra, was that before or after Beverly Hills Cop? Was it after?
No idea. Cobra?
Yeah, it was. That's the one with Stallone and...
I don't know.
God dang it.
I don't know.
Beverly Hills Cop was
86,
first.
Yeah. Cobra was 86. I'm looking up here according to IMDb. But Bronson Pinchot being in that, that is Balky Von Takamas, Corson Larry, which Perfect Strangers was my jam.
Oh, that was right in my wheelhouse as a kid.
That tracks.
Loved Perfect Strangers.
Now it's time we do the Dance of Joy.
Yeah. I mean, being a goat is a goat herder. And if that is not the inspiration for Borat, I don't know what would be.
No, it has to be. It's like, it's not even an inspiration. It's like derivative.
From the Italian nation, the Mipos.
I mean, it's really just an aged version of Balky. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
It's rough around the... It's rated R Balky is what it is. Balky Von Takamas was just a salt-of-the-earth sweetheart just trying to find his way in America. Borat was not.
No.
And both of them gave me great joy.
I just can't believe that movie's almost 40 years old. But then I start thinking about it, like, I'm almost 40 years old. So that tracks.
Oh, is this true? This text says, I love that the actual head of the Detroit Police Department played Foley's captain in that movie.
Yes.
And he was corrupt.
I didn't know about
I didn't know that part about it. Yeah,
but
I
knew that he was a real cop, yeah.
No way. No way.
Aren't they bringing that back? Isn't there a new Beverly Hills Cop coming out?
Oh, I hope not.
I could have swore that they were bringing it back.
Didn't they learn their lesson with Beverly Hills Cop 3?
That is true, which also has Bronson Pinchot in it as well.
Did he come back for that one?
Yes, theirs comes back in Beverly Hills Cop 3. Oh, man. We're bookending this with some great film talk.
It's
here.
Currently filming Beverly Hills Cop 4.
No.
Oh, goodness.
Yep.
Yikes.
Let's not do
Once
that.
Once you get to 3, you got to stop, though, right? Like, isn't that kind of like the rule, unless you're doing like a Harry Potter thing where there's like...
Where it's already predetermined how many you'll have.
You like know. In the Lethal Weapon franchise?
The trilogy is where you got to stop.
Yeah.
Unless it's Sharknado.
True. Because there's what, 8 of those?
Like 8 or 9.
You're kidding
me. No, dead serious. Yeah. Listen, man, those guys need work.
They do. Ian Ziering needs to be on there. Is Tara Reid still on the part of that?
I would imagine so.
All right. Good for
I don't think she's died yet.
Oh. All right.
So she's coming back for more. That's why she couldn't do Cocaine Bear.
Probably. She may be in the bear suit.
There you go.
For Cocaine Bear. Who knows?
It must be a second botch surgery.
All right. For this one listener. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Noon to 3. Ew. Prime time is next. 1080 The Fan!
Bye. Fade me, Daddy.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.